Turn your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be reading four verses 11, 12, 13, and 14 of Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read the odd number of verses, 11 and 13, if you'll join with me on verses 12 and 11. If you found Ephesians chapter 1, if you'll please stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll be reading verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. And let's pray this morning. Lord God in heaven, we thank You for just what we've heard already. Thank You for the reading, the ability to open up our Bible this morning and hear from You. Do pray that You put Your hand upon the speaker this morning, the Holy Spirit, to have His will and way. Bless the special, prepare our hearts for the message. Thank You so much for what we've already heard today. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Pharisees put Jesus on trial in Pilate's hall. He wasn't what they thought He'd be. He was born in a cattle stall. What they wanted was a king. What they found was everything they would need to save their sinful souls. They fell over the Lamb on the cross to look for the Lion on the throne. When Jesus came down, He laid down His crown to die for the sin sick and lost. Jesus left His throne in heaven to purchase man His pardon. But while looking for a king, they caused the suffering of God's Lamb that would pay sin's cost. My friend, the Savior's waiting for you to trust in Him today. He gave His life on Calvary to prove He's the only way. Christ is there for you, and He simply wants you to believe in Him to save your sinful soul. Don't fall over the Lamb on the cross to look for the Lion on the throne. When Jesus came down, He laid down His crown to die for the sin sick and lost. Jesus left His throne for a king, we cause the suffering of God's Lamb that has paid sin's cost. Every soul that rejects Him, the Savior hurts a little more. Now He's standing and He's waiting for you to open your heart's door. Purchase suffering of God's Lamb that has paid sin's cost.
Song this morning, He came as a lamb the first time. When He comes the second time, it'll be as the lion. Amen, the King. Now, I just thinking about this morning. It's been two Sundays since I preached here in the pulpit. We had Phil Kidd a couple Sundays ago, and then last Sunday I was out with my wife in Iowa for the 40th celebration out there with Brother Joe Brown and the folks that came back. And so I've been here Wednesday nights, but two Sundays have passed since we were in this text in Ephesians chapter 1. I meant to mention earlier, it's good to have Reed and Emily. This is the first Sunday since you got married, right? So two Sundays, and Reed and Emily Thacker are back from the honeymoon. Good to see you folks. I saw them yesterday, but good to have them in service this morning. Somebody said, what a blessing to have in 2 weeks' time to have two wonderful weddings like that. And I agree, it was a blessing. Anyway, I've been 2 weeks without being in this passage, a brief series on the subject of a purchased possession. A purchased possession. You see it in verse 14 there, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the opportunity to be in Your place this morning. Speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, would You please now control both speaker and listener? Would You have Your way in our lives today? Help me, I pray. I want to be the tool in the hand of the master carpenter today. Father, I give myself to You. Pray that You'll meet needs in this auditorium. Speak to our hearts. Help us and bless us. Thank You for Your word. For it's in Jesus' name we ask this. And amen. In the first message I preached in this series, I mentioned how earnest money is used in purchasing a house. Many of you have purchased homes, and when you make an offer on a house, you give earnest money with your offer. It is a show of sincerity. And listen now, it is also a pledge that there is more to come if they accept your offer. And I think we talked about that. It's usually, what, in the neighborhood of $500 or $1,000 if you make an offer on a house and you give them earnest money. It shows your sincerity. And then it's also a pledge that if they accept your offer, there is more to come. Now, when a person becomes a child of God, they become His purchased possession. And let me just say this morning, because I feel like it's the right thing to do, the only way to become a child of God is through faith in the sacrificial offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we'll talk about tonight as we gather around the Lord's table, the sacrificial offering on the cross. I think about John 1:12, where the Bible says, "But as many as received Him," that's Jesus Christ, "to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." I became the son of Robert and Amanda Angel January 27th, 1957, when I was born to them. And you become a child of God when you are born spiritually into the family of God. All right? Now, I want you to notice this here. You're born to God, but this is what it says here in verse number 13, "which were born not of blood." This is in John chapter 1. You're not there. I'm just reading this from my notes. "Which were born not of blood." Salvation does not come through the bloodline of the family. Doesn't happen. Okay? Somebody asked me this week, what's covenant theology like? Some covenant theologians teach that if mom and dad are saved, your children are safe. I don't find that in the Bible. I believe you have to come. Every individual has to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of blood. Read on here, and it's not said, "nor of the will of the flesh." Salvation does not come by way of works, nor of the will of men. No one can get you saved. Nobody can work your salvation for you. As much as I love my six children, I couldn't make any of those kids saved. They had to come to that themselves. "Not of the will of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." God is the only one who can give you salvation as you trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that, friend, if you thought, you know, I'm okay as far as heaven is concerned because my family is a Christian family, I've been baptized, I've got my name on a church roll, or had a praying mama, all those things are wonderful. But until you personally receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, You cannot be born into the family of God. That's your great need this morning. Now, once that happens, once a person trusts in Jesus Christ, we become His God's purchased possession. And that's what we've been talking about. We talked about the plan of His purchase, the price of His purchase, the promise of His purchase. And let me just touch on that briefly, because that's where we were 2 weeks ago. The promise of His purchase is that the person of the Holy Spirit is given to us immediately, as soon as a person receives Christ and is born into the family of God. The Spirit of God takes up residence in that person's body. So for me, that was in October of 1975. I got born spiritually into the family of God. And when I did, the Holy Spirit took up residence in my body. He moves in. When you got saved, He moves in. That's the promise that God makes, okay? You can see that in verse number 13 at the end of the verse. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Boy, that's good. He seals us. That means He marks us. He identifies us, if you will, as belonging to God. Now watch this. And He preserves in us the salvation that God has given to us. So God gives us salvation, eternal life. And then when the Holy Spirit immediately moves in, He seals, He protects, He preserves that eternal life until we leave this world by way of the grave or by way of the rapture. It's sealed. We talked about those preserves. And that, you ladies like that sound in the kitchen, huh? When those, excuse me, some of you men too, I see some faces out there. Hey, I go, okay, I say, all right, yeah. Men too, you like it. You like that sound. Now, that's what happened. That's the promise. Now, wait a minute though, but along with that, we didn't finish this 2 weeks ago, along with the Holy Spirit being God's promise to a believer, when as soon as they get saved, the Holy Spirit is God's pledge to us. So you got the plan of His purchase, the price of His purchase, the promise of His purchase, and the pledge of His purchase. That's the message today. And here is God's pledge. There's more to come. There's more to come. The Holy Spirit is God's pledge that one of these days we are going to receive our inheritance. And thank God, the inheritance that is reserved for us, that God has in store, cannot be touched, taxed, or troubled by the U.S. government. Amen. Or anybody else's government in the whole world. It's reserved for us by God. All right? The Holy Spirit promised to us as soon as we get saved is also God's pledge that we are going to receive that inheritance. There's more to come. And believer, let me encourage your heart this morning. Once you get saved, the Spirit of God's given to you. That's a promise, but it's also, He is also God's pledge that the best is yet to come. And that inheritance is heaven. And someday heaven will be ours to enjoy. They came in this morning. Brother Dave said, we need some numbers for songs. And I said, well, it's number 20 in the gray book. And he said, that's how beautiful heaven must be. I said, I can't believe that. That's what I'm preaching on this morning. I'm preaching on heaven is our inheritance. And we don't schedule the songs, but the Spirit of God can do that sometimes. And we sang that beautiful song a little while ago, how beautiful heaven must be. And that is our inheritance, friend. And you say, well, you know, I'm saved, but I hope heaven, I'm really hoping heaven. No hoping. They go looking. No, here, look, if you're saved, and the Holy Spirit of God was given to you as a promise from God. Once you got saved, His promises, the Holy Spirit moves in. But that Spirit of God is also His pledge. It's His earth. You're going to heaven and you're going to receive that inheritance someday. You will be there and the best is yet to come. Now, I don't know about you. I enjoy life. I enjoy life. I love life down here on earth. But as wonderful as this is, as wonderful as it is, friend, it's wonderful to be saved. But oh my goodness. What's to come? Far outweighs what we have right now. What's to come? Far outweighs it. Now, what is to come is way, way better. Let me say two or three things this morning. We've got to be done. Number one, heaven is a place. Heaven is a place. The Bible in John 14:1, Jesus is speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He called it His Father's house. And He said that He was going there to prepare a place. I don't know about you, I like that. We're not going to float around on a cloud in outer space strumming on a harp, singing with some opera voice, the Gloria Patri. That does not sound like heaven to me, friend, at all. Okay? We're going to a place, a real place with real streets and real walls and real gates and real river and real trees, a real place. It is not the figment of somebody's imagination. It is the real home of God the Father. And Jesus is seated there at His right hand. And it is our blessed hope. It is what we think about. It is what we look forward to someday. It is where our departed loved ones have gone, where they are waiting for us to join them. Oh, yes. I remember hearing Dr. John R. Rice years ago when he was still preaching, and Dr. Rice's mother passed away when he was 6 years of age. Think about that. But he remembered going to the cemetery. And back in those days, they did things differently. They would stay at the graveside while the men lowered the casket down into that hole. And he said that him and his brother and his dad were standing there by that hole, and the men came forward and they were lowering the casket down into the ground, and it began to sprinkle a little rain on their heads while they were. He said a kindly black woman came and placed an umbrella over our heads, and he and his dad and his brother, and watched that casket get lowered into the ground. And John R. Rice said, he said to himself, "Mama, I'll see you again. I'll see you again." And that's true, friend. That's not the figment of somebody's imagination. That is the blessed hope. We will see our departed loved ones again. Yesterday was a wonderful day. It was a wonderful day for our family, for me and Joyce. You know that. If you've been through that, it's. I don't know that there's a grander day than the wedding of your children. But the whole process for me was touched with a twinge of sadness. Because for me and our family, it was the first time we'd gotten together since Tom went to heaven about a year ago. And boy, he wasn't here. And he was always so much a part of everything. And how we loved him. And how he loved us. And I wouldn't even begin to insinuate that my sense of loss and heartache is nowhere near what my dear sister-in-law Lisa feels, and my dead mom and the children. I can't touch what they feel in their heart. But he was my brother. And when Tim and I hugged last night and said goodbye to each other, and there was just a bit of a twinge. And when Tim backed away, his eyes were filled and mine were too. It would be unbearable if I didn't know. If I didn't know that one of these days I'm going to see him again. I didn't know that. And you know, I used to think, well, you preach this, you plan this message. No, this message was in the series. It was in this order that God gave me these messages in this order. I didn't preach this morning because that family is here. But maybe God just wanted us to know and remember that we're going to see him again. And that's what heaven is, friend. Heaven is the place where our departed loved ones have gone. It is a place. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. I don't have time to turn all the places I like to this morning, but mark it down. 1 Peter 1, verse 4 tells us about that wonderful place. And it says there that it is incorruptible. Don't you tire of how quickly things tarnish or tear up down here? Are you guys that way? I can't keep anything. I tear up everything. I think that's the way men are. They're just... And things tarnish and things tear up. Nothing in that place ever tarnishes. Nothing ever goes bad. Corruption never sets in. Down here we watch as over time precious gifts tarnish and dissolve and corrupt. But not there, friend. Jesus said heaven is a place where moth or rust do not cause corruption and thieves do not break through and steal. My mother is a hoarder. I don't know how much she is now, but she was when she was a hoarder, a coupon freak. I mean, just, and if they put Raisin Bran on sale, you didn't buy one box, you bought 10 or 8. But then 2 weeks later, they put it on sale again, and you got to buy 10 more. And then you're looking at. And one time we were in Atlanta. I think, Lisa, you were there then. And were you there then when the moths came flying out? And everybody said, where are these moths coming from? Man, it's moths all over the kitchen, moths everywhere. Where are these moths? It's at Christmas time. These moths aren't around at Christmas. And so they start looking, where are these moths coming from? And here's 4,000 boxes of Raisin Bran that the moths have corrupted. And all that Raisin Bran in the trash. Nobody wanted a bowl of Raisin Bran with a moth in it, huh? I remember, YT, when you and Patsy were home for Christmas, and then you left to go back to Baltimore, and you called back as soon as you got here and said, somebody broke into our house. Stole things. Some of you have had people break into your homes. Aren't you glad heaven is incorruptible? A place where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. He said it's incorruptible. But now, wait a minute. He didn't finish there. He said it's undefiled. Not defiled, not touched by impurity, not tainted by sin. None of the treasure of heaven has been gathered by dishonest means. The beauty and the glory, all of it is undefiled. Look, I know, I have been privileged to be in some of the most scenic places. I pinch myself to think that I've been able to be there. Jaw dropping. Some of you have too. I've been in the Rocky Mountains, not just out in America, not just out in here, out west, but in Canada. I got to tell you, folks, those Canadian Rockies, it's unbelievable. Up by Banff and Lake Louise and Jasper, and we were there with the teenagers on senior trip years ago. We were going through that. We were going through the Canadian Rockies. Brother Woodward's driving, and I'm over here, and we're just both. And he looks back in the rearview mirror, and all the teenagers were asleep. And you know Brother Woodward, he's a calm, quiet guy, you know. And he said, hey! He said, wake up! He said, we're not going to drive through God's handiwork, and you sleep the whole way through. And they all woke up, you know. And I'm sure the teenagers weren't impressed. But I'm telling you, for us, it was jaw-dropping. On a family vacation, we went down the Chief Joseph Highway out in Wyoming. You come out of the northeast gate of the Yellowstone National Park on the Beartooth Highway, and then Chief Joseph Highway goes from Beartooth Road all the way down to Cody, Wyoming. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It was... I just, and then when Ben and Ashley were in Albertville, France for language school, we went to the French Alps and we drove over to in the Italian Alps, and it was just like, it's incredible. And you know, it may not be the same, but I told you, coming back on the senior trip this year through Pennsylvania, is it on Highway 70, Brother Nemeth? Highway 80 or 70, is 70 go through Pennsylvania? No, not so. Whatever it was. It might have been that. Comes to those. Man, the sun was setting over those Pennsylvania mountains. I'll tell you, it was absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. I mean beautiful. But friend, look, listen. I think about Asheville, North Carolina down there. One of the prettiest places you... But look, all of those places are defiled and tainted and touched by sin. Now think of that. Think of that. I mean, it's jaw-dropping gorgeous. We're Albertville in those French Alps around in the corner, and here's a little lake. It's like God put a great big teardrop. It was beautiful. Remember we got out and took pictures there? It's beautiful. But that's tainted. That's defiled. We are going to a place that has never been defiled or tainted by sin. Reserved for us. And we're going to put our eyes on that place. Paul said that when he got caught up to the third heaven, he saw things that were not lawful for him to talk about. Can you imagine that? No, you can't. I can't either. But he didn't stop there. He said it's incorruptible. He said it's undefiled. And then he said this, it fadeth not away. That means it endures forever. Now think about this. Saints of God have been in that wonderful place for years and years, hundreds and thousands of years. Now listen, it is no less sparkling, it is no less beautiful, no less pristine, no less peaceful than it was 1,000 years ago. And when you and I go there, If it's before the rapture, nobody will be able to say, man, if you could have been here 100 years ago and seen this place then. Did you ever go to a historical site, a historical building, and the guide says, you know, taking you on a tour, the guide says, well, back in its day, it was the grandest place in this area. Back in its day, it was the fanciest, it was the finest. Back in its day, you think, good night. Nobody will ever say that in heaven, friend. It's still the day. It's still its day in heaven. And it always will be. It never fades away. The pledge of the purchase, the Holy Spirit, is given to us as a pledge that one day heaven will be ours. That is our inheritance. It is a place. Number two, heaven includes our body. Heaven includes our body. Now, as I mentioned before, we're not going to be like Casper the Friendly Ghost in a floating on a cloud somewhere. Heaven is not a place of spirits and bodiless souls. Heaven includes our bodies. And when we see Jesus and enter into heaven, it will be in a new glorified body. Romans 8 talks about creation, talks about this planet. And how the whole planet, all of God's creation, groans and travails in pain right now. The earth is under the curse of sin and it groans and there's earthquakes and floods and tornadoes and hurricanes and fires and drought. Groaning because someday it's going to be a new earth and the earth is looking forward to that. And then in verse number 23, look at what Paul said. He said, not only they. Not only they, not just the earth, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, the pledge. Even we ourselves groan in ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now look, I think we ought to be upbeat about living right now and be happy to be here. But if you're saved, every once in a while, inside of you, there's just this... It's a longing. It's a groaning. It's a yearning. And that is through the Spirit of God. That's God's pledge that one of these days we're going to have an inheritance called. We're going to be there. So it includes our body. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, Paul wrote about we're waiting for the Lord Jesus to come. Now watch this. Who shall change our vile body. That's what I've got this morning. That's a strong word, isn't it? Vile? Well, don't bathe for about a week. See how vile it is. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Now, that's part of our inheritance, a glorified, brand new body. You won't even need as much as a baby aspirin in. And that's not fable. That's not fairy tale. That's reality. A brand new body. Brand new body. Anybody that's lost so much as a finger, my good father-in-law here this morning in the farm accident years ago lost that arm and he'll go to heaven. I never knew John when he had both arms. I've seen pictures. But man, as soon as he sees Jesus by way of the rapture, by way of the grave, boom. A brand new glorified body with everything in place. I wonder if our appendixes will be back in place. Everything's there. We're talking about a new body. Heaven includes our bodies. Jesus, after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples were gathered together in the upper room. They were afraid. They were confused. They were saddened when Jesus appeared unto them. They recognized Him. They knew who He was. Hey, and that's how I believe we'll recognize each other in heaven. Now, we may not have the same relationships that we have here on earth, but we're going to know each other. We're going to know each other and see each other. Perfect health, perfect recall, perfect memory. Won't that be a blessing? You ladies already have pretty good sense of memory. Amen. Some of you ladies don't forget anything. Heaven, now watch this, heaven and a new body to enjoy it in. Wow. What a deal. When all we really deserve is hell. Heaven and a new body to enjoy it in. And then let me say this. Heaven's inheritance is because of Jesus. Did you ever get invited to anything that was above your head? Over your what's the right word? Class? I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I mean? It was just a little bit. You didn't belong there and you knew it. You were only there because somebody else's invitation. You know, but somebody else said, "Hey, come on, go with me." Okay, I'll go. When you go, "Oh, so, hey, good to see you here. Man, I didn't think I'd see you here. I didn't think you'd see me here either." But, hell, listen, he's the reason I'm here. I came with him. I love the missionary stories, and I really do believe, Ashley, I really do believe that those precious converts over in Madagascar, I really do believe that they'll get introduced to folks at Faith Baptist Church and other churches around this country, and they'll say, "I'm here because you sent Ben and Ashley over there." I believe that, but, folks, really, when we get there, I'm here because of him. He is the reason I'm here. Do you see the wounds in his hands? See the wounds in his feet? You see the thorn marks on his brow? He's the reason. Heaven's inheritance is because of Christ. Now that's the pledge of the purchase. That's the pledge of a purchase, the pledge of the purchase. If you're saved this morning, that's God, and you have the Holy Spirit living in us. No, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And that was God's promise the moment you got saved. But he's more than just a promise. He's a pledge that there's more to come. There's more to come. Place with a new body. And Jesus the reason. Now listen, friend. If you don't know that you're saved, you've got to understand how fragile life is. Joe Esposito opens his missions conference on Thursday night. Johnny's home. Johnny's home from Cambodia for the missions conference. Joe Esposito opens his missions conference on Thursday night, finishes the service, and about 65, 70 minutes after that, he's in the hospital on death's door. The brain aneurysm. And he's still in the coma. "Well, I'm going to make my decision someday. When I get through with this, when I get around to this, I'm going to make my decision. And if I get close to death, I will trust Christ." You may not even have your mind So if you want in on this inheritance, you better make that choice while you've got the time. Because that's God's pledge. He gives us the Holy Spirit. Wonderful gift, promise of God. But hey, there's more to come. There's more to come. Heaven, a new body, all because of Christ. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let me talk to you just for a minute. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking. Just give me your ear, please, if you would. How many folk would say, "Pastor, just met a need in my heart to hear about that this morning"? You don't know what that need is, and I don't need to know what that need is, but it just met a need in my heart to be reminded this morning about our inheritance, that pledge of the purchase. Would you pray for me? I just needed that reminder this morning. It met a need in my heart. Would you slip your hand up in the air this morning? Yes, yes. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me ask this question today. Who would say, "Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know that heaven will be my inheritance. I know that for a Bible reason. I'm saved and I know it. I don't mind testifying to that." Would you slip your hand up, please? Nobody's looking. I'm saved and I know it. Thank you very much. Take your hands down. I appreciate that. That's a wonderful pledge, isn't it? We ought to be thankful for it. Who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I did not raise my hand just then because I don't know that heaven is my inheritance. I don't know that I'll be there someday. I am not sure that if I died right now, I'd go to that place called heaven. And while I've got my senses, I'd like to just raise my hand and say, Pastor, I don't know that heaven is my home. Would you just lift your hand up? I'll pray for you this morning. I'm not trying to make you a Baptist or anything. God bless you. I see your hand. Somebody else this morning. I'm not sure that heaven is my home, front to back, side to side, member or visitor. I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I want to encourage you this morning. If you don't know for sure that heaven is your home, in just a moment, the musicians are going to play. We have what we call here an invitation. I want to invite you to come and let somebody show you from the Bible how to be saved, what it means to trust Christ as your Savior and have that nailed down, know it for sure. I would invite you to come while you can, if you raised your hand. It may mean the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart right now, trying to draw you to Christ. Please let him do His work in you this morning. That's all I ask. You want to come and pray for a little bit? That's fine. Who say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. I've not been baptized. And God bless you. Pray about that for you. If you want to be obedient to Christ, you can do that this morning. Maybe there's somebody here who's been saved and baptized, and you know this is the place God wants you to become a member. You've been visiting. You've talked to me or somebody else on staff about it. At the invitation time, you come. And that would be wonderful. All right. Father in heaven, we're grateful today for that wonderful place called heaven. What an inheritance, Lord. We don't deserve anything. Nothing. What you have reserved for us is so wonderful, beautiful, far beyond our imaginations. Lord, Paul said he couldn't even talk about it. Remarkable. May we stay encouraged with that. May we live for you because of it. We're thankful, Jesus, for the sacrifice you made on the cross to make it all possible, because you will be the reason we're there. Thank you for that. Bless, I pray today, each heart in this room. Bring folks to Christ. I just pray you'd encourage the believer. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together while the ladies are playing a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Would you make your way right down the aisle? Come to trust the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Come to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Come to join whatever God's doing this morning in your heart. You come while we wait.